Now down from her chamber came discreet Penelope, looking for all the world like Artemis or golden Aphrodite, bursting into tears as she flung her arms around her darling son and kissed his face and kissed his shining eyes and sobbed, "You're home, Telemachus." Words flew from her heart. "Sweet light of my eyes, I never thought I'd see you again. Once you shipped to Pylos against my will, so secret out for news of your dear father. Quick, tell me, did you catch sight of the man? Meet him? What?" "Please, mother," steadied Telemachus replied, "don't move me to tears. Don't stir the heart inside me. I've just escaped from death. Sudden death. No. Bathe now. Put on some fresh clothes. Go up to your own room with your serving women. Pray and promise the gods a generous sacrifice to bring success, if Zeus will ever grant us the hour of our revenge. I myself am off to the meeting grounds to summon up a guest who came with me from abroad when I sailed home. I sent him on ahead with my trusted crew. I told Piraeus to take him to his house, treat him well, host him with all goodwill, till I could come myself." Words to the mark that left his mother silent. She bathed now, put on some fresh clothes, prayed, and promised the gods a generous sacrifice to bring success, if Zeus would ever grant the hour of their revenge. Spear in hand, Telemachus strode on through the hall and out, and a pair of sleek hounds went trotting at his heels. And Athena lavished a marvellous splendour on the prince, so the people all gazed in wonder as he came forward. The swaggering suitors clustered, milling round him, welcome words on their lips and murder in their hearts. But he gave them a wide berth as they came crowding in, and there where Mentor sat, Antiphus, Halitherses too, his father's loyal friends from the early days, he took his seat, as they pressed him with their questions. And just then Piraeus, the gallant spearman, approached, leading the stranger through the town and out onto the meeting grounds. Telemachus, not hanging back, went right up to greet Theoclymenus, his guest. But Piraeus spoke out first, "Quickly now, Telemachus, send some women to my house to retrieve the gifts that Menelaus gave you." "Wait, Piraeus," wary Telemachus cautioned. "We've no idea how all of this will go. If the brazen suitors cut me down in the palace, off guard, and carve apart my father's whole estate, I'd rather you yourself or one of his friends here keep those gifts and get some pleasure from them. But if I can bring down slaughter on that crew, you send the gifts to my house. We'll share the joy." Their plans made, he led the wayworn stranger home. And once they reached the well-constructed palace, spreading out their cloaks on a chair or bench, into the burnished tubs they climbed and bathed. When women had washed them, rubbed them down with oil, and drawn warm fleece and shirts around their shoulders, out of the baths they stepped and sat on high-backed chairs. A maid brought water soon, in a graceful golden pitcher, and over a silver basin tipped it out so they might rinse their hands. Then pulled a gleaming table to their side. A staid housekeeper brought on bread to serve them, appetizers aplenty too, lavish with her bounty. Penelope sat across from her son beside a pillar, leaning back on a low chair and winding fine-spun yarn. They reached out for the good things that lay at hand, and when they'd put aside desire for food and drink, the queen, for all her composure, said at last, "Telemachus, I'm going back to my room upstairs and lie down on my bed. That bed of pain my tears have streaked year in, year out, from the day Odysseus sailed away to Troy with Atreus's two sons. But you never had the heart, before those insolent suitors crowd back to the house, to tell me clearly about your father's journey home, if you've heard any news." "Of course, mother," thoughtful Telemachus reassured her quickly. "I will tell you